Welcome to the India FinTech Diaries, the only podcast focused exclusively on the Indian FinTech market. I'm Elroy.
And I'm Hemant. In each episode, we dive into the latest trends, ideas, innovations, business models, and personalities that are shaping India's FinTech landscape.
We also invite amazing guests who are innovators and industry players that are driving the change that is helping make financial services more modern, innovative, and inclusive in India. Come join us as we explore the changing landscape of FinTech in India. Welcome back to India FinTech Diaries, the show where we discuss all things Indian FinTech. I'm your host, Elroy.
And I'm your host, Hemant. It's been a while since we delved into the topic of lending. Today, we are kicking off a series of episodes focused on specific lending products. And we are starting with an intriguing one, two-wheeler financing. Why, you ask? Well, India happens to be the second largest two-wheeler market globally, with sales reaching approximately 16 million units in FY23, and it even hit a record high of 21 million units in FY19. To shed light on this fascinating lending product, we have a special guest with us today, Sumit Chhajed, the co-founder and CEO of Auto Capital. Welcome to the show, Sumit.
Thanks, Anand and Roy. Very excited to be part of this podcast and share thoughts and insights with you guys.
Thank you. Thank you for joining, Sumit. Sumit, you are a serial entrepreneur and have delved into multiple segments. I just looked at your LinkedIn before you joined in. So talk to us about your journey and also the genesis story behind Auto Capital.
Great, sure. Yeah, so may start with my background and then how the journey has been, which kind of led to a series of entrepreneurship stint for me and finally Auto. Hailing from a small town, Udaipur, a beautiful city in Rajasthan, born and brought up there. Went to IIT Bombay in 2008, graduated in 2012. Bit on the background comes from a Marwari family. So once I was at IIT, I kind of start thinking what I could do post IIT. And I think that's where the whole fascination towards entrepreneurship, building exciting products, exciting businesses kind of kicked in for me. And hence, I started pretty early. So I started my first venture during my college days itself in a third year of IIT Bombay. I kind of got my first DIN number and launched my venture as a private limited entity. So the journey is almost like a 12 years now. Built in, the intent has always been, Hemant and Elroy, to create a mass impact. Coming from a middle-class background, we have lived through all the problems and the challenges that most of the Indians go through, right? So always being fascinated by the mass impacting problem statements and leveraging our learnings from IIT and the technology that we have been observing and leaning forward so far, how we can build innovative solutions to solve it. So that has been always the, I'd say the core thesis behind solving any problem and building a venture around. Built an edtech startup, again, the essential essence was that I got a chance to come to IIT. Many of my friends could not make it to it. I could see them studying in like tier 3 institutes of India and essentially have a very limited resource to kind of grow from there. And that's what intrigued me, that obviously only 1% comes to IIT, 99% could not. How can we give them better resources to learn from? And that's the genesis for Courseware, which was my venture, which got acquired by a US-based company in 2013, kicked off. Second, while I was bootstrapping my first venture, I bought a secondhand bike for myself. Again, coming from a tier 3 town while I was in Mumbai, but a big fan of two-wheelers as a personal mobility option. So IIT doesn't allow us to use automobiles. Like, you can't have motorcycles or scooters inside the campus. So as soon as I graduated and I was like bootstrapping my startup, I bought a secondhand Pulsar 150 black color in 2013. During this time. And I thought it would be easy. It's 2013, you have OLX, Quicker, you have Bike, there are so many platforms around you. I think it would be pretty comfortable and easy to buy. But it turned out not to be so easy. And essentially, I spent almost 6 weeks, the whole excitement turned into a bit of a frustration. Let me get something now. I'm not able to find a good used two-wheeler for myself. And then on the top of it, even after being an engineer, we were fooled by a lemon product. So the product was accidental one, just painted new. And it's always a great product. And two IITians, so me and my friend Nitin, we went to see, try some vehicles. And they both are from IIT Bombay. We are smart enough. We did a test ride for 1 kilometer and said, oh, look, this is a great product. After five, this looks good. And we bought it. And the, you know the rains in Bombay, right? So
right.
The first rain in June and the vehicle is stuck in Hiranani near DMart. And it's not even moving somewhere. So what has happened? We took it to a servicing guy. He looked at us and said, look, dude, where did you buy this? That time, the reality struck to us, oh, we were scammed. And it was a pretty bad product. And we used to make a lot of kind of fun about ourselves that after being to IIT and even so-called engineers couldn't figure out which is the right bike for a second bike. But yeah, the reality was that if we couldn't do it, most of the Indians would have find a challenge, right? Because it's an engineered product. You don't know the depth and details of it. And it's difficult. That's where the genesis for my second startup, which is Kredal, which is the largest platform for buying and selling of used two-wheelers, came in, right? That how you build a more trusted and convenient platform for any consumer to buy and sell a used two-wheeler. Right. And again, as I mentioned, big fan of two-wheelers. We have seen so many friends and family buying and using two-wheelers. We saw it's a large market. And it's an Indian market, right? India first market. So you'll not find a success story outside India about two-wheelers as much as four-wheelers, right? So what you're building has to be built from India and then scale it up globally. So that is where the Kredal came into the place. Exciting times. We started in 2014 with just three founders, scaled up pretty well, raised almost like $15 million Series A in 2015, and grew from there from a team of 3 to 300, from one city to 10 cities. Understood the nuances and operations of resale market first, how what someone looks at when he's selling a second bike in the market, what one looks at when someone is buying a second vehicle,
right?
Built a distribution model around it, done valuation engines, how do you value or underwrite a second product as an ecosystem. So build the whole resale market, the operationality and the tech around it, and the digital way to kind of figure out and discover and commerce. Obviously made a lot of mistakes in the process, failures, but yeah, in the end it came out a good product. And later in 2016, I realized one more thing which will be important or crucial for people to kind of pick up, or very important to adopt a resale or a product in a high ticket size, is financing. And in India, interestingly, used two-wheeler financing never existed. So used two-wheeler financing was something that kind of got my eyes first. So I partnered with Hero FinCorp and a few more players in the market to convince them that based on Kredal's underwriting model of resale, can you start financing? Because someone who is buying a second-hand product, right? When I bought a second bike, I was bootstrapping. I wanted to save money. And hence, if you're able to enable them with a financing option, they can essentially buy a better second-hand bike for themselves, or they can save some more money for themselves. So that was a thesis. And hence, dwelled into the used financing space, two-wheeler financing space. That is how I think my interest towards the financing kind of increased. Working with them, understood how the underwriting works, how the process financing works, what are the nuances, how the collection has to be built across. And that is where I kind of spending time with brands, with financiers, with the customers. Over a time, I built a larger thesis. What the thesis was that what we're solving at Kredal is an interesting problem to solve, but it's a tail-end problem, right? A bike has all manufactured by a brand. A bike has been sold by a showroom to a certain customer. The customer has already used it. He might have taken financing. He might have bought in cash. And now this vehicle has come back for a resale, and that's where you start your journey, right? Knowing the market, because I was like, as we were three co-founders, I used to head product marketing and all the new initiatives. I had a lot of insights into the consumers and the brands who are in this market. And I realized there is an interesting opportunity that is getting built up as consumers are getting younger in this category, right? So if you see, interestingly, in India now, 70% of the customers who buy two-wheeler in the country now are in the age of 21 to 35, right? It's a young millennial Z generation TG, right? Who is buying two-wheelers, who is making a decision to buy a two-wheeler. And this generation behavior is definitely different from what it was with the few generations earlier, right? So three things that, interestingly, we could also observe changing here. One, the consumer today likes to change much faster than the older generation. So if you see the old generation, like the earlier generation, till 2010, people used to keep same bike for 5 years, 7 years, right? They will keep using it.
Yeah.
But if you talk about the new age generation, they like to change vehicles in 2 to 4 years. So if it is actually next to mobile phone, like the two-wheeler change or the upgrade happens next to mobile in terms of the cycle in a life of a consumer, right? So that is one interesting shift that consumers are looking and changing at much faster cycles compared to the older ones. Second has been the new age consumer loves credit. Right. If you see, and that's very prominent across different categories of lending, the new age consumer thinks credit is a way to optimize his cash flow and make him to afford things which he could not afford immediately if he just focus on his own money. Right. And that penetration in last 10 years has gone up drastically, right? Significantly up is there, which again goes back to the behavioral shift that today's generation believes in optimizing the credit flow and the cash flow, then focusing on the total cost of ownership, which means that if I have 25,000 salary and I can afford a two-wheeler, I can buy a phone, I can travel with my friends, I would like to do it everything, right? And am I okay to pay in a future ways, future cash flows, right? So that is something that has gone up. And even in our category, the penetration of financing in two-wheeler has gone up from just being 38% to almost like 70%. So that's a big jump here, right? So also, it's contributed to the increase in price of the two-wheeler, but I'm saying the consumer interest has also gone up. The third thing had been that the new age consumer also has a more comfort and affinity towards digital way of doing this, right? So this consumer today is comfortable in doing his KYC, filing applications, making decisions to buy things online, book products, make money transactions. So they are more savvy in terms of digital usage. And hence, their affinity to kind of make offline touch points and offline effort is limited to the last call, especially in our category. They don't want to make too many offline touch points before they have made a decision. They want to do it online as much as possible. So these were the three kind of a key insights that kind of gave me a kind of a view that there is a larger opportunity that can be kind of created that is available to solve for a masses in a new two-wheeler segment as well, right? Now, what is happening here today, right? So if I talk without auto, if you go to the market, the consumer has to make roughly 6 to 8 offline visits to buy and finance a two-wheeler in this country, right? That is huge, right? Now, what happens? Let's see through how he starts the journey. When a consumer is looking to buy a bike, the first thing he's come in his mind is which bike he should buy.
Correct.
Interesting data again from Google. Post-COVID, the searches on Google for two-wheeler has gone up from 4.4 million to roughly 12 million. Right? That's almost a 3 times of jump we have seen in the two-wheeler searches online, which means that the consumer starts his journey online by look for, let's say, comparing a Suzuki Axis versus a Honda Activa, Ola versus Ather, which is best financing options, how to get an EMI for two-wheelers, two-wheeler bike loans, etc. Right, that has gone up significantly. But after once you figure the data online, finally you have to, if you want to try a bike, you have to go to a showroom. If once you try, and in India, how it happens in the country is today, every brand has different showrooms, right? So you have a Suzuki showroom, you have a Honda showroom, there's a TVS showroom, there's a Ola Experience Center, etc. Right. So if you want to buy a tool, try a two-wheeler, you have to go to roughly 2 to 3 different brand showrooms to try out a vehicle and decide which is the right option for yourself. It is not available at one place, right? And with the earlier, it was okay because generally we had 2 to 3 hero products in every category. Like you have Axis, Jupiter and Activa, you have Pulsar and FZ, right? You have limited kind of hero products. But now with EVs coming in, suddenly you have like multiple choices. You have almost like 10, 12 brands providing products in every category. So essentially, which means that you have to go to 5 to 6 different showrooms to try out the vehicle first. Now, second, once you try out the vehicle and decide, okay, I want to buy, let's say, a Bajaj Pulsar. Now from Bajaj Pulsar buying to getting the price is also a challenge because in India, every showroom has certain delta in the pricing. Your price can vary from 1,000 rupees to 5,000 from one showroom to another because your ex showroom prices are fixed, but on the top of it, the other charges around RTO, insurance, accessories are in the hand of the showroom. So the price discovery is a second challenge. So once you decide on the vehicle, are you getting the best price in your locality, and are you getting the vehicle with the lowest waiting period, is something again you have to figure out offline. So now you have to walk into the 3 showrooms of Bajaj to figure out where I'm getting the bike at the best price and who is giving me immediate delivery of this vehicle, right? So then it's a second step on the process. Once you decide on the showroom that this showroom is giving the best price and the vehicle is available, then he gives you the financing option. So now, right, after figuring out, now if he will have 2-3 financiers at his counter and they will give an access to you, and then you are dependent on these outlets, partners of financing, to figure out whether you're getting the loan or not. So, and the rate of interest, etc., all is dependent on these 3 partners in the showroom. So you get to the financing. If you get to the financing, yes, well and good. Else you are again back to square one. You have to figure out a new showroom where you are able to get the financing. So essentially, if you see the whole process from trying a vehicle, figuring out the right price and the financing, roughly it takes almost like 6 to 8 minimum visit for a consumer, right? Still in 2020s, yeah, right? So that is one side of the problem statement. The second problem statement that we have understood, where the financing core which Otto has built works, is that most of the financiers, Hemant, in this category still treat this as an unsecured class, right? While there is a two-wheeler as an asset at the back, but practically no one underwrites it. Obviously, they have their reasons, considering it's a small ticket size product compared to the likes of four-wheelers and properties and real estate and gold, which are obviously high value asset plus appreciating or a low depreciating asset. Two-wheeler is movable as well as a small ticket size. The second market for two-wheeler is disorganized, and hence getting into the realizing the value or undermining the value itself is a challenge for them. So for all practical purposes, the treatment of the customer who is coming to buy a two-wheeler in the showrooms is essentially like an unsecured product, right? Yeah. Hence, your tenures are generally 1 year or 2 years. Some will extend it to 3 years, but 80% customers get a tenure of less than 2 years in the country today, right? The rate of interest are north of, like, if you talk about the rate of interest, will be anywhere between 12% to 15% flat in this market, right? So it's a high rate of interest, low tenure product, where the consumers have got no intrinsic benefit of having an asset at the underwriting level, right? So that's the second problem. And obviously the banks and BFCs who do this take 2-3 days of time to kind of close in, and which is where again customer has to visit 2-3 times to the showroom to kind of get a delivery before the financing is done. So that's the second side of the problem, where the asset is not kind of the benefits of underwriting this asset has not been passed to the consumer while providing the financing against two-wheelers. So that is the kind of a wholesome problem statement, which we realized that one, consumer in 2020s still has the experience of buying a two-wheeler or financing a two-wheeler is still stuck in 1980s, right? While we are in 2020s today, right? And that definitely needs a change. The consumer deserves a much better experience to discover, buy, finance, and own a two-wheeler in this country in a new world of today, right? Second, the financing has not seen any innovation in last, I'll say, 30 plus years. It's the same product by different players, and the consumer has got no benefit of the asset being at the back. Right. So combining the shift in the consumer behavior on one side, where he wants to quickly upgrade, he wants digital way of buying or financing options available for him, and he wants credit to be the first choice where the cash flows are optimized for him, the option that is available in the market is way off his expectations. And that is what is the genesis of the need to bring Otto in this world. Right. So Otto essentially started by me and Harsh, who also is a very good friend of mine from IIT Bombay days. And we have worked together at my last venture as well. He has led all the product and data analytics projects there, built strong underwriting engines, decay models for two-wheelers, understand the data around the underwriting risk model pretty well, very strong on product side. So we both kind of discussed this in, I'll say, in December 2017, and 2018 April was the kind of the official date to start Otto to solve this problem.
Very, very interesting, Sumit. You talked a lot about the current state of the market and the problems that are being faced there, right? Can you also help us understand how large this market is and at what pace it's growing?
Sure. So, see, if you see the market for India, right? So, auto, obviously, you also covered it out. So, we peaked at 21 million two-wheeler sales in the country in 2019. Roughly, we are selling 15 to 16 million two-wheelers in the country now. The right. average price of two-wheeler has grown up from mere $600 in 2015-16 to roughly $1,200 and now with the EVs coming in and the subsidies going back, almost average price on the platform we are seeing is roughly around $1,200, right? So if you see the overall market, $1,200 and 15 million sales, it's essentially, it's roughly an $18 billion two-wheeler sales market, right? Considering 70% of the consumer today has shown interest towards financing. So if you talk about pure financing business, it's roughly $10 billion plus dollar of annualized financing market. Right? So it's a large market, right? And how we look at it, we just go one step beyond it and say, in India today, we have more than 100 million plus two-wheelers on the street, right? While 50 million vehicles are sold every year new, we almost have 100 million vehicles on the street running every day, right? And this 100 million two-wheelers has an average asset value of roughly $400, right? So which means that $40 billion of asset value is already kind of moving around in two-wheeler asset class in the country. And roughly $18 billion of new asset is added every year. So it's a very large market. Another interesting thing about two-wheeler is that it is one of the categories which is not limited to the top 10, 20 cities, right? You see cities like Udaipur also sells like roughly 5,000 two-wheelers in a month, and a city like Bangalore would sell roughly 20,000, right? So, but the markets are deep. The city like Indore sells roughly 9,000 vehicles, right? So the markets are deep for two-wheelers. They are not skewed towards the top 20, 25 cities, which we generally see in other asset classes, right? So if, for example, four-wheelers, where the penetration is only 13%, the top 50 cities has like more than 60%, 70% penetration there, right? But in two-wheelers, it is actually spread across the geography. And that's a very interesting thing to solve.
Sumit, while you did a brilliant job of explaining the challenges that are currently faced in the market, right? I'd love to understand how does a platform solve for some of these challenges?
Sure, great.
And also, I'd like to also understand how you differentiate against traditional lenders or banks when it comes to two-wheeler financing.
I'll start from the start point itself. So we divided this problem into three pieces, right? One is how a customer decides to buy a bike. Second is when a customer is deciding to buy a bike, how to make sure he's getting the bike at the best price in the fastest availability mode. And third, how does he afford to buy this bike through financing, through cash, and how does the financing work, right? So essentially, how the auto is built a platform is sitting at a comfort of home using an auto app or a mobile web platform. You can select any vehicle of your choice on a platform. One, you will get bite-sized video content from the users and experts of 15 to 90 seconds video shots, which essentially helps you in with all the concerns and queries you might have about a two-wheeler, right? So we start with the content, which is like getting you aware and engage you about the use cases, the pros and the cons and the qualities of the two-wheeler by the real users and experts of this vehicle. Second, you have a chance to speak to a bike expert so that if there are any concerns and queries that you have, you can resolve it through an expert who can help you in guiding across which are their queries around whether a drum bike is a brake is better than disc, whether ABS is good or not. So those kind of queries you can figure out and answer. And third, you can get home trials for any vehicle of your choice, right? So it's basically a content-led engagement platform, which essentially gives you home trials so that you can try out vehicles of your choice and then figure out which is the right option for you, just sitting at a comfort of home or being at office in the daytime, right? So that is one place where we said like consumer has to go to 5 brands, different outlet to try. Now you don't have to need to do it. You can get this everything just sitting at a comfort of home through auto platform. Second, once you decide on the vehicle, auto is integrated to roughly 70% of the dealerships across the cities. So basis of your pin code, let's say I'm sitting in HSR layout, my pin code is 560102. Putting my pin code, auto's engine will help me on a real-time basis give me the nearest dealerships of Bajaj near to me. What are the real-time prices at these outlets for the model I'm looking for? and what are the real-time offers, and where the color of my choice is available immediately, or what is the waiting period. So the second leg of the problem statement, where consumer wants the best price and the fastest availability, is solved through our real-time integration model with the inventory systems of the dealerships. So we know for sure where the color is available and where what is the real price of this vehicle, so that the consumer doesn't need to walk into three showrooms to negotiate on the pricing and get the price for it. So that's the second point. Third step, so based on the choice, so he can select a particular dealership, pre-book a vehicle by paying just 2,000 or 3,000 to 5,000 rupees on the platform, so that the vehicle is booked for him, and in next 48 hours he can walk into a showroom and take the delivery at his comfortable time, right? So this is how the first leg of problem is solved: getting you home trials, giving you content and expert interactions to make sure that you're making the right choice of bike. And second, in making sure you're getting transparently knowing the best price in the city for your vehicle and the availability, so that you can make a choice whether you want to wait for 2 weeks and get a best price, or you want to get it immediately and you're not worried about price. You can make that call, select a showroom, pre-book it, and the vehicle is blocked for you. So that is how the first problem statement, to give customer comfort so that he can reduce his offline visits from 6 to 8 to just 1 or 2, is being done on the platform, right? So that is one thing. The second leg is financing, which is where the post pre-booking comes, how you want to buy it, right? So whether financing is a primary way of buying it, this is where Otto has built a super EMI product. It is India. It is one of its kind product exists in this market still after 5 years, just by Otto. The Super EMI product makes your EMI 30% low than any other option available in the market, and gives you a choice to pay the remaining 30, 40, 35% at the end of the tenure, or come back and upgrade with us, no question asked, right? So this is the core Super EMI financing product that Otto has built, which is where we are different than the traditional financing players. So I'll take an example just to kind of give clarity here. Let's take an example of the hot and trend product in market today, which is Ola Electric, right? The Ola Electric today, let's say the price is 1.5 lakhs on an average. Now, if you want to buy a Ola Electric through a normal financing of, let's say, IDFC First, the financing for Ola Electric by IDFC First will be very simple. They will give you a 2-year loan where they will tell you, pay me 20,000 upfront. Then you have to pay me 6,500 rupees ka EMI for 24 months. And then the vehicle is yours, right? So that's a simple product, no question asked. 2 year, you pay the whole money and this vehicle is yours, right? Now, if you buy the same Ola Electric through Otto, Otto will tell you, based on our predictive model and underwriting engine, we believe that Ola Electric will have a minimum resale value of, let's say, 75,000 rupees after 2 years. So we are saying to the customer that, look, pay us 20,000 upfront, like the bank. Now you pay us only 4,200 rupees in place of 6,500 rupees for 24 months. And at the end of 24 months, you can decide if you want to pay the remaining 50,000 rupees in one shot and keep the vehicle. You want to pay the remaining 50,000 rupees in EMI. So you can extend the EMI by another 12 months and keep the pay the same 4,200 for another 12 months and keep the vehicle. Or you can come back to Otto and say, look, hey, there's a new model in town, I want to upgrade. So Otto will take your old vehicle back and upgrade you to another option seamlessly, right? So this is where Otto brings a much more affordable, flexible, and convenient way to finance and own a two-wheeler, right? So your EMIs are 30% down, which is a big thing, because in India, majority of the consumers who buy two-wheeler, their average income is generally between 18,000 rupees to 28,000 rupees, right? This consumer, right, if you are able to save 2,300 rupees on an EMI on a monthly basis for the first 2 years in his life, right, where actually he has more liabilities and he's growing in his life cycle as well, he's excited. He loves it, right? And then on top of it, if he wants to continue or change after 2 years, that decision is in his hand. He has the right to make that decision. If he wants to continue, yes. If he doesn't, he can come back and just upgrade. So it makes it much more flexible and affordable for a consumer, which has never happened before. So this is where we are very different from the traditional product that exists in the market.
Got it. One interesting thing, Sumit. So when you talk about underwriting your customers, how are you underwriting it? Basically, on what parameters are you underwriting?
So see, till date, as I mentioned, none of the player has given the consumer the benefit of underwriting this asset, right? while auto has done differently is that we have been able to break the future resale values of this asset through our proprietary engine and able to give that benefit to the consumer, right? Now, on underwriting of a consumer, what we take care of is essentially it's a two element which is fundamental to any underwriting. One is the ability to pay. The second is the intention to pay, right? So on the intent to pay, obviously, we have a proprietary true score, which is being built where we use a mix of data sets. One is around the consumer past credit history, his location of stay, the profiling, and his behavior towards repayment through his SMS parsing, etc. We have built a true score, which essentially gives us a comfort on whether the customer will have what kind of intent he lies in. And that's the one lever of it. The second lever is the affordability to pay, which is where we try to understand either through bank statement parsing or again through the SMS parsing to just figure out what are his average cash flows and he has money in his bank to at least cover up the EMI on a monthly basis, right? So so this is in a simplified way the two levers of ability to pay and the intent to pay. What we have built interesting here, Hemant and Elroy, is that we have built a risk level pricing again for the first time in this category, where we have been rewarding customers which has a very good past intent and a good affordability by providing one of the lowest EMI rate of interest in this market. And at the same time, the customer where the intent might be slightly poor or the affordability looks to be slightly risky, we still give them an opportunity to afford and buy a two-wheeler, but the ROIs are slightly higher to cover the risk, right? So it's a very interesting risk-based reward model where your IRRs can vary from like 8% to 13.99% depending on the profiling of the customer. And it also uses the data set around the vehicle you are buying, right? So essentially, if you are buying a fast moving product like a Honda Activa, right, our IRRs, our down payment requirement from the customer will be eased out compared to someone, let's say, who's buying a Yamaha Fascino, which is not so popular product in the market, where we know the resale pricing and the resaleability is slightly going to be tough. You might have to slightly pay a premium for it. So this is also an interesting model where the popularity of the vehicle has also been into the consideration to pass on the benefit around the IRRs and their down payments for the customer.
Understood. The way you are saying, Sumit, then would it be right to say that most of your customers are existing to credit customer? Or if you can tell us what is the split between existing to credit customers and new to credit customer, and also the percentage of customer as far as your tier 1, tier 2, tier 3 goes for auto as things stand today?
Sure. So absolutely right, Hemant, again, two-wheelers are bought by youngsters, right? I think most of the Indians, especially in tier 2, tier 3, as soon as you start your job, the first thing you want to buy from your money is two-wheelers. That still exists today, right? That has been the feeling, I think, 10 years back and still is the feeling today. So absolutely right. Many of the customers in this category are new to credit. And similarly exists in our portfolio. I think roughly 36 to 37% of my customers are new to credit. Right. So that stands today as well. And we are happy to finance them. We again believe in the future growth of the consumers. That is where we try to use some of these metadata and some of these parsing engines to figure out their affordability sense and definitely use it to kind of back it. Again, good thing is because we have confidence on this asset resale value and the value that asset carries, we're able to take those risks because in the end, even if I get the asset back, I'll resell it and liquidate it and make my money, right? So I am able to kind of take those decisions and make sure these customers also are able to come under the two-wheeler financing ambit through Auto Super EMI program, right? So that is one thing. Our split, obviously, we are right now, two-wheeler again is slightly operational intense business because unlike other unsecured fintech lending businesses where a customer might be sitting in Assam and you can just fund it even you don't have strong operational base there, in this category you need to have a partnership with the showrooms, collection kind of a system on the ground because you have to get the vehicle back, resell it, liquidate it, etc. So essentially, your geographies have to be operational in slightly more intense way. Hence, we are operational in roughly 10 cities today. We started with Bangalore, we extended to Pune, then Hyderabad, Chennai. And then we started going to some of the tier 2, tier 3 regions as well. We have gone to Jaipur, we have gone to Indore, we have gone to Ahmedabad, we have gone to Mysore, Nagpur, right? So slowly we have penetrated into the other spaces as well. What is interesting here is phenomena is that even a city like Indore, where the average income would be at least 20% lower than the average income in city like Bangalore, we have seen the similar kind of enthusiasm and excitement, or to say more enthusiasm and excitement towards the product like auto. Frankly, they are not as pampered like the consumers of Bangalore, where you get everything digital, you get easy innovative products to try in different categories. And as I mentioned, many categories have not been able to move down the top 20 cities. The consumers in cities like Jaipur, Ahmedabad for that matter, has shown a great excitement towards our product. And they love this experience that, oh, sitting at home now, I can try a bike. I'm getting a financing where I can upgrade. Like, these are new things for them. And they really love it. So we are seeing a kind of a good traction there. Obviously, from a volume point of view, I think today, roughly 40% would be coming from the tier 2 cities and 60% would be coming from our top tier 1 cities.
Got it. And one very interesting, Sumit, what you said is you built your own proprietary credit model, underwriting model, and also model for predicting the resale value of the product, right? Now, these are very, very specialized skills, which from traditional industry, people have taken many years to develop because this model needs to be tested, sometimes back tested and seen the result of after only like at least 2-3 cycles. So how did you solve that challenge? Did you get people from outside in the organization or did you crack it yourself?
Again, a very good question, Hemant. And I think the true answer for us has been we have tried to create a good mix of talent here. We have youngsters, like the founders being on the young side of the journey, where we have youngsters who focus more on innovation. And then we have industry experts, veterans who bring their experience about the category. And our job as a founder is to kind of deliver the mix of two in the best manner, right? So just to give an example, yes, my data scientist lead is youngster from IIT Bombay who has roughly 7 years experience, right? My growth head is like 9 years experience, again, IIT Madras guy, right? But if I talk about my sales, retail sales head who managed the dealership and retail network, he has 22 years experience into two-wheeler financing partner, right? So he was a country sales head for Busan. He was a south head for Bajaj Auto Finance. So he comes with that experience. Right? Similarly, my credit head who leads the credit operations, the person comes with roughly 15 years experience of two-wheeler underwriting operations, right? So so he gives the gyan of the reality, and then the young side of my co-founder Hirsch, which is strong on data and the data scientist lead, they essentially work on the innovation, how to use this knowledge base of 15 years and then translate it into a new age models, which is quicker, which is faster and more intelligent than what it has been happening so far. So I think we have tried to create a good mix around operations, finance, risk, retail sales. We have like senior veterans, which has like more than 15 years experience. And then on the growth, product, marketing, data analytics, etc. side, we have kind of a young generation, which is like experience of anything between 7 to 10.
Got it. And when you talked about, because this is, you rightly said that it's a very operation intensive business. So of course, when you expand to multiple geographies, this dealership network is extremely important. And though we keep saying that things are moving online, still at right now, at least a lot of sales happen via dealerships only. So when you said when someone finds a two-wheeler on your app or website and orders for it, it comes from, say, you said 70% of the dealership in a particular geography are connected. So for these dealers, there is a commission relationship, is it, for anything that is sold off your platform for their dealership?
Correct. True. So see, essentially, again, good thing here, Hemant, happened with us. While we have been a big believer of this story and this change since we initiated auto in 2018, I think the inflection point for us was the COVID, right? When the COVID hit to the world, many things were at halt, right? And many things got accelerated. It depended on the category. I think automobile was one category that went for a fully hold, right? That considering the business had been so heavily built offline, whether it is RTO registrations, whether it is financing, whether it is sale, everything is so heavily dependent offline that they cannot do business once COVID kicked in, when the guidelines kicked in. It was very difficult, right? And just to share an interesting story, right? We believed in to be digital. So our process was 100% paperless from day one, right? So when the COVID kind of the first wave got a bit soft in June 2020, right? Our dealers wanted to do the business again. But the challenge they faced was that financiers were not available because government has guideline that you can have only one or two people like in outlet to the business. And all the financiers in this category had heavily offline model to underwrite, to sign agreement. Everything was completely offline, right? And consumers were even worried to sign the document or use a pen in the showroom, right? That was that was the time. Auto was the only platform which could give them access that you can do everything just through your own mobile phone through our app, right? And that is where our relationship with the dealership became very strong. That they saw us as the partner who has been able to deliver value for them, help them in doing the business, even when the other players were not able to kind of do enable it for them. Right? And those times, that is where I think the inflection point came, that the trust towards auto story, the vision of auto and the solution that it provides grew among the dealerships. And I think that was also time they realized that this category will also get disrupted, where there is a chunk of consumers, there is a certain set of brands who would want to do digital first in the post-COVID era, right? And that actually helped us to kind of tell the vision to our stakeholders as well. Very important for them to believe in it. And they for them, it's simple, right? It's a simple math, right? That if I'm getting a customer from auto who has done everything and I am just doing a fulfillment, right? It's imagine it's an Amazon for two-wheelers, where someone has already decided what he wants to buy, pre-booked it, and the showroom is just doing a delivery. And doing the fulfillment, you are making your money, right? You're still making your money on other services and the stocking of the vehicle and the margin, while there is a partner who is taking sharing of revenue with you for essentially acquiring a customer and doing a customer support for you, right? Which makes sense.
Right.
So for him, it was simple that with the same team of four people in my showroom, and with the same inventory capital blocking, if I'm able to do 10 more sales where essentially I am to do nothing and I'm still making my margin, I'm happy to part certain margin with the partner who's able to help me do that. So that is where the story helped us. And today our partners are happily ready to share certain margins with us when the transaction comes from auto.
Okay, understood. So it's other way around. And this entire financing that happens on Auto Capital, it's on your own book or it is via partners?
It is by partner, Hemant. It's an interesting journey. It started with the own book because it was a very new product. Coming from the two-wheeler background, done Credar before, we actually have some relationship being built where like brands, lending partners trust us that if you're coming through certain idea, it's interesting. But it was a new novel concept, right? So they said, we are ready to work with you, but we don't know whether consumer will adopt it, how it will pan out. So they said, it's fine. We'll build the book first for you. So we literally took debt on our book and did the first 1,000 vehicles were done through our own balance sheet. And then once we got a good penetration in two cities, we got a good growth, we got a very good portfolio performance. That is the time when we bent back and said, look, hey, proof of the pudding is here. And you can now decide if you want to really grow with us, you have to now get into the asset-light model with us. So that's how the partnership started. And today, I think 95% is asset-light now.
And there's the saying in financing, Sumit, that it is always very easy to give money, but it is the difficult part is collecting. So what's your collection strategy when it comes to your two-wheeler financing?
True. So, Eman, very true point. And I think one thing that helped us in this category compared to many other incumbents in fintech world of lending is we were always very conservative when it came to underwriting, right? Because we said, boss, we understand two-wheeler. Two-wheeler mera dhanda hai, right? I know two-wheeler. I understand two-wheeler as a category. Lending right. is a solution to a problem which I have seen in the market, right? But that is not my core as of now, like when I started, right? So today, obviously, we have great skills and systems built, but that was the point, right? So you said, boss, I want to get a customer not because he's rejected by a bank. I want to get the customers because he should feel that it is the better product in the market and it is the better experience than anything else he has seen so far, right? So our focus had always been that we want to have consumers who come to auto because of the uniqueness of the product and the experience that we have built, not just because we are giving money, right? And fortunately, obviously, we were slow. Our approval rates were low in the initial days. But when the COVID hit, we were able to get back to almost like 85% collection in just 2 months of time. And I think that changed the trajectory again with our lending partners. They built a lot of confidence in our book because after COVID, we know how the world was with collections, and collections were down by like 40-50%. And we were back by 85%, and the industry, tool industry itself, was at 63%. Right. So that showed the kind of a quality and the way we have built it. And yes, obviously, as we scaled up from 10 CR book to 50 CR and then to 400 CR of disbursals, we have become better. We have kept learning in a period of time. We keep doing experimentations on 10% of the portfolio, learn through it, and then make it grow it up, or then just kind of shunt it down. And that's how it has been. Considering we are working in a new age market where, as I mentioned, most of the consumers are in the age of 21 to 35. All the consumers basically are activated on auto debit system, which is eNash or UPI mandates, and the collections mostly fare through well. Another interesting thing, Hemant, that we have done, I think, differently in this market is that obviously every category will have certain consumers where the intention would be slightly wrong, and you can't help it, right? You have to go through the primitive collection base. But many times the customer's intents are good, but there are incidents in life that forces him to kind of defer on the payment, right? Because it's a medical emergency, personal emergency, financial crunch, something in the family that kind of uproots him, right? What is interesting with us is because we believe in the two-wheeler as an asset, as a value, if a customer is not able to pay his EMI, we offer him a first choice that give us the vehicle back. We will liquidate your vehicle on your behalf and close your loan with a partner and get you out of the place, right? Getting, basically giving him this choice without any embarrassment or any kind of a disrespect enables the right intent customer to acknowledge and then close it out. And I think that is very different than what the industry practice has been so far, where consumers are pushed across for collections and money, primarily getting the money, because the two-wheeler as an asset has never got the value belief, and hence consumers are forced to give money, and hence they cannot do it, and they just kind of skip, right? Which is what we have done differently. I think that has also helped us. Our net NPS has been under 1% since last almost 4 years of operations, which is one of the best in this category. And I think that is where, even with the different guideline shifts that has been done by RBI, we have seen a zero churn in any lending partner through us. We actually added bigger lending partners even after the guideline shifts has happened. And while the growth has been 3x year on year, we have been able to maintain a very strong quality of the portfolio. Again, I'll attribute to two things. One is the priority is that consumers should come to auto because of the experience and the uniqueness of the product, and not because we are just a financier giving money, like there are 10 players in the market. Second is the digital distribution that we've built. We're able to engage customer digitally and underwrite him and give him an offer of loan before he walks into showroom and talk to anyone else. And third is our ability to underwrite this two-wheeler as an asset and build a strong liquidation system, and hence giving customer that comfort to give back an asset and move on if in case he's not able to afford to pay the EMIs. So I think these three things has helped us to kind of keep on track so far.
And so, Sumit, basically last question from my side, and I'll hand over to Elroy. From product economics perspective, you covered a few things. For example, you covered the yield on it, which you are saying about 15-16% is what you charge. And you also covered the NPS, which is under 1%, which is there. So can you give us an idea about the ranges of what the net interest margins and the ROAs look like for this business?
See, essentially in our business, right? So just to give a rough calculation, we the average price of the vehicle today is roughly $1,200, right? The average loan on the vehicle is roughly around $1,000, right? That's what we are seeing as a trend, right? On $1,000 vehicle, roughly our net take rate, including our commissions and on the sale, financing, interest margin arbitrage, and the resale of the vehicle that happens if the vehicle come back, we considering have a healthy margin of roughly around, I'll say 15 to 18%. Our net take rate post our costs of acquisition and operations and collections somewhere lies around 10 to 12%. So that's our economics so far.
So just last thing, this is not a question. Well, I just wanted to close from my side by saying that I too have bought a vehicle from Creda. Activa two-wheeler, which I bought from a good experience. As you rightly said, I went in one day and within like half an hour, I walked out with the vehicle because the vehicle was already there. So yeah, good experience.
No, glad to hear that, Hemant. That's good that when I have moved on, if we are able to maintain a great experience, nothing like it. As a founder, it's a great thing to hear.
Sumit, let's look a little bit forward-looking from where we are today, right? So what's your view on the future of the two-wheeler financing market in India? And more importantly, what are your future plans for Auto?
Got it. So, as I mentioned, both the attributes which are changing. One, the prices of two-wheeler are significantly going up because of the inflation in the, generally in the metal class. Second is with the shift to electric vehicle mobility technology, where the battery costs are upfront. Definitely that has increased the vehicle cost. We have just seen the as the subsidy kind of got reduced from 1st June of this month, we have seen the vehicle price have gone up anywhere between like 10,000 to 30,000 rupees, which clearly makes it difficult for a consumer to afford it through a cash payment or a single payment mode, right? And secondly, the behavioral shift in the consumer mindset as well, where he prefers to use credit as a first choice. If he has an option to pay in EMIs, then paying it one shot after doing a saving, he still preferred it. And that's, I think, the new age generation is more comfortable in doing that. So both these things are going to increase the need for the financing in this market. We, as I mentioned, we already seen this need for financing is to go up almost to 65 to 70%. I think with the right product, and I think it's also the product has to get slightly cost effective, right? The rate of interest are still higher in this market, I believe. With EVs coming in, slightly more control on the trackability of the vehicle, etc., can give comfort to the lending institutions to build that risk engine better. And if you're able to make it slightly more affordable for a consumer, I think the penetration will continue growing 8 to 9% CAGR, attributed both to the increase in price as well as in the increase in interest of the consumer to buy it on financing.
Sumit, thanks a ton for this entire extensive masterclass. It was really great speaking with you today. In case any of our listeners wanted to learn more about Auto, what's the best way to reach out to you?
Definitely. See, we have our platform. We have our social media pretty active. So you will keep getting the updates through our platform and through our social channels. Just to cover your point on the plans. Yes, we have seen a very good kind of traction in 10 cities we exist. We plan to launch another 15 cities in next 12 months of time. So the intent is to increase the offering of Auto to more and more cities. Today, we work with a majority of the brands in the market, whether it is Hero MotoCorp or Ola Electric or Royal Enfield. And we have seen demand from our partners to take this Auto Super product and a digital enabled experience to like multiple cities. I would say stay tuned. We will be available soon in your cities as well in the coming months of time. And we are excited to serve the whole India in the coming years.
Excellent, Sumit. We'll include the details of your social on our show notes so that people can watch out for these announcements. Thanks once again for joining us on the show and spending time with us today, Sumit.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
That's it from India FinTech Diaries for this week. Do log on to website indiafintechdiaries.com for exclusive content. We also cover occasional fintech deep dives in a Substack newsletter, so do subscribe. And until next time, mask on and stay safe.